Yes.
You hear me? Okay, so I want to speak about non-French scientist. This is Newton, as you recognize. I'm not sure that this is Hooke, because you know that the portrait of Hooke disappeared in 1703 when he died, and when Newton become the president of the Royal Society, and they move in London. So apparently, this source is from some serious website on mathematics, but it's not clear that it's a Hooke portrait. It's not clear at all, because I still have seen some paper 30 years ago where the writer was saying, one of my dreams is to found this portrait, because there were one portrait. He was the secretary of the Royal Society, and as a secretary of the Royal Society, they did a portrait of him. Okay, so let me tell you first a little bit why I am going to speak about this, because I am not at all historian of science. I mean, I was more interested to teach. This last few years, I get some very big interest in teaching nonlinear science to young students which enter at university. And you have to know that in France, when they enter at university, usually they know to compute a derivative. I mean, they know a little bit of differential calculus in principle. So when I give this first lecture 2 years ago, I realized that they knew how to make the derivative of x squared, not over t squared, but of x squared. So if you say t squared, they were lost. And 90% of these people were not aware of what was the derivative. You know, so it's and up to now, the people at university teach very quickly Lagrangian dynamics and things like that, and there are people in front of them who really don't know to manipulate just derivatives. So I get this crazy idea that I would like to teach dynamics without solving equations, but solving them with experiments and with geometry. And at this point, you will see that I've been very obsessed in this field. And at this point, at some point, I realized that what I was doing was very close to Hooke, what Hooke did 400 years ago. 300. Okay, so more or less the talk is going to be, okay, so I mean, my motivation was to teach dynamics without calculus. And perhaps I just show you some picture, because it's, the way that I am doing it is using experiments, as I told you, in geometry to solve differential equation. And as you will see, I mean, Hooke was really solving differential equation with analog computer, and the analog computer were just pendula and rolling of balls on some concave surface. I mean, he developed an incredible intuition solving differential equation without knowing the equation. Okay, and this is more or less one of my dream, was to try to do that. And you will see at the end, I will show you one of the exams that I give just 3 weeks ago, which is more or less the talk. So basically, I will tell you a little bit also about my biographical source. But I end up very, very soon by the following idea that in some sense, I mean, you know that nonlinear dynamics is very exciting. You have bifurcation, you have chaotic phenomena, you have a lot of exciting phenomena. But usually you wait so long to tell that to students, because they have to learn Lagrange calculus, and then so we lose them at much before we lose all the people, but because we are too much formal. I mean, in France, in particular. So I discover quite by reading Newton, that the law of the number one of Newton and the law number two are just discrete differential equation, the discrete dynamical system. They are not differential equations. The idea that Newton say as a second law that the acceleration is proportional to the force, this is wrong. He never used these words. I mean, he's basically saying that the jump of velocity is proportional to the impressed force. And by impressed force, it's very clear when you see the comments, they are like shock. They are force which act on a very short time. And the effect of this force is just, I put here the mass is equal to 1. The effect of the force is just to make a change of abrupt change of and he has this idea from the very beginning. When he was 23 years old, he was studying centrifugal force using billiards. I will perhaps tell you that at the end. So this idea of Newton, and many others have the idea, because the shocks dynamics was something that people knew, but of course continuous force and the fact that continuous force change the velocity and yet acceleration was something very complicated for at the time. So law number one is inertia. Law number two is jump. So if you do inertia, jump, then you can construct in phase space very nice trajectory. And I don't have time to do that, but you can then if you know what is your force, you draw the force, and you can draw this picture without even a calculator. I mean, just by Thales' theorem, you can construct your trajectory using this idea. So this was my idea, and then of course this year I spent a year by reading things, and I realized mainly I've learned from Michael Nuremberg. I just show you some bibliographical sources which are very important. I have learned from Michael Nuremberg that actually this law number one and number two, in the way that Newton implemented in the Principia, in the so-called proposition one, was the suggestion of Hooke. And this is then I went into this crazy thing, and I discovered that Hooke was really solving differential equation. I will show you exactly one of the differential equation that he solved using geometry much earlier than the Principia. Okay, so what can I say about this? Perhaps just a word about this this lady, Louise Patterson. I mean, this is a 49 paper, and this sentence is very interesting. She said, although the gravitation is considered the more important product of the 17th century, the evolution of the theory prior to the publication has been curiously neglected by the historian. I mean, mainly the people are always telling the story of Halley going to visit Newton, and then, I mean, everyone seems not to like to go in the detail of where this idea comes from. I mean, and this is very strange, because historians are very serious, but in that case, there is a kind of funny thing which happens. Okay, and you'll see. Okay, now, just a word. Okay, now, the plan of the talk. I'm going to speak about the experiment on pendula, and we bring pendula. We have pendula, thanks to Gunther and Alers and Denis. Denis, who is going to play the hook experimentalist of the today session. So in the 66, hook show a lot of very interesting phenomena on pendula, and this is, I mean, which are at the root of the understanding of gravity, I mean, of central forces and all that stuff. And then I will go into some detail, perhaps 15 minutes, by doing experiments and simulation to try to illustrate the famous correspondence between Hooke and Newton in the winter of 1679-80. This is very important. And this letter has been discovered recently at the beginning of the century in Trinity College. This is interesting. In the Sir Christopher Wren Library, because Wren was a friend of Hooke. And then I will show you, and this is a talk which, I mean, I will not have time to go into detail, but that actually Hooke invented the first symplectic integration. And this symplectic integration was lost for at least 200 years. People now rediscover this. But I mean, basically, the way that he understood dynamics was a symplectic integration. And he was able to implement it geometrically without a computer. But there is a numerical simulation I will show you. And then, of course, I want to anticipate one of the questions that Pierre is going to ask me. What about Newton and chaos? And I already answered your question. I don't know about Newton and chaos, but I am quite sure, and I will try to demonstrate that Hooke knew about curves. But then, of course, Newton, D'Alembert, Euler, Laplace, Lagrange, all these people cleaned the field, and this deterministic French thing, give me any position and velocity, I will predict what the world will be. Okay, this is, but Hooke. I will try. If you want, in some sense, the my talk is to try to convince you of that Hooke probably saw something as an experimentalist. Okay. Let's start now with the talk. So this is a joke. No. I was not speaking about this one. No. This is a joke. Now I am going to ask. This is a joke. So. So I start sometime the lecture for the student. I mean, this year I started lecture for the student by telling him what it is. And they all say, oh, this is the sun, this is the earth, and this is the moon. No, not at all. Now, Mr. Hooke, can you do the experiment? This is one of the experiments that Hooke did the 23 May of 1666 in front of the Royal Society, which was just formed since 3 years. No. This is just the first experiment, just to motivate. So this is not the sun, this is not the earth, this is not the moon. It's a two pendula, two conical pendula, just coupled like this. You have a problem? You see, you need really to have some experimental guy, because if you want to make this two, it's a three-body problem. It looks like a two-body problem, but it's a three-body problem. So you have to make the moon rotating, and then to make the earth rotating. So you will see, it's not easy. If you try to do it, it's not easy, because this problem has a 2 degree of freedom. There is more than 2 degree of freedom. It's chaotic in general. You see. So, and Hooke try to do this experiment. You have to choose. I'm not completely convinced that you succeed. No. Here you are a little bit too emotive. I like your idea that, you know, if you want to start something, it's a good idea to start with the moon. Okay? And then the earth is rotating, and the moon is rotating. Okay? But already you can almost jump from this to the end. This double pendula is chaotic like mad. If you want to avoid chaos, you have to avoid resonances. You have to find very particular phase space initial condition. Okay. So this is the first experiment that Hooke did in front of the Royal Society. Thank you. We'll come back to the pendulum. Okay. Okay, this was the analogous. I am going to comment on this because now this year, if you like to have some good reference on this, you look at this paper by Louise Diel Patterson, 52, where the title is the pendulums. I was not aware that you can say pendulums in English. Yes, but. I write pendula, but the title of the paper is pendulum. I'm surprised, but so I try to correct. You can, or perhaps old English, or no. Okay. What? Of 19th? No. But you know, at some point when you start to read this text. You start to use very strange words. Instead of speak about force, you speak about conatus and things like this. So let's do that, yes. So 23 May of 66, the basic idea of Hooke was that the motion of all these heavenly bodies was related to the inflection. The word inflection is very important, because this word is the same word which is also used, in optics, when you have he was studying multi-refraction. I mean, he was studying optics, and there is a relation between optics and mechanics from the beginning. And this inflection, you have a linear motion, and this inflection due to something he called a supervening attractive principle. And here he's explaining that if there is attractive body placed at the center, it will endeavor to attract or draw to itself. I mean, I let you read this. Probably it's better for your English than if I don't want to spoil your English. Okay, but this is a sentence. And then I shall endeavor to explicate from some pendulous body. You want to use pendulum. So you see, it's something already very interesting. This guy has the idea that experiment can be used as a model experiment, to model something. It's something that really he adds, because in the Baconian philosophy, experiments were very important. But the idea that to use some experiment to model something which is not at all the problem, in experimenting solar system, it's not so easy. The idea of trying to understand by using mechanical model. By the way, people say that Laplace invent celestial mechanics. I would say this guy invent celestial mechanics, because it's mechanic. The title of this talk was actually the motion of planets as a mechanical problem. And the idea that this was mechanics is something very new at the time, 66. At that time, Newton was 22. And he had already discovered differential calculus. He did some work on optics, and he was a little bit working on motion, but related to centrifugal force. And he still have this crazy idea of Descartes, of the motion of the planets are due to vertical motion of the ether. Okay, and for a long time he has this idea. Okay, now the first thing that he did was the following. I mean, I'm sorry to show you such a trivial experiment. The first thing that he did was to show that he called it the conatus to descent. You know, you remember that Galileo thought that the pendulum was isochronous. That is to say that the time you need to go from here to here is the same if you start with a different amplitude. I mean, the amplitude of motion do not affect the frequency. Okay, this is a linear system, but this is not a linear system. And Hooke was the first with Wren to show that the conatus, I mean the tendency, I mean the acceleration of the gravity. So in some sense, it's like if you have an inclined plane, and that if you leave the pendula here, its conatus to descend is proportional to this distance. And this, of course, now in modern language, is just a sign of the angle. But they were not using this. In order to make this demonstration, he used a theorem of Galileo, and then some similarity theorem, and show this. So then it means that Hooke knew that the pendulum was not following the Hooke's law. I mean, by Hooke's law, I mean force proportional to a displacement. Okay, so he knew from the beginning, he was the first to realize, he did the experiment, and he did the... But the more interesting thing about this is not this one, is this. Now let's come back. That now at this point I can do the experiment, I think, because a double pendulum is a difficult... No? I'm going to play a little bit with this one to show you some very interesting and modern aspect of the Hooke's discovery. I'm not very good at this. Yeah. Yes, it's two. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now Hooke is now trying to solve. He's trying to solve what he called the circular pendulum. Okay, this one. You remember that Galileo was solving this one. And was trying to study this one. Now, Hooke tried to study this one. Of course, you know that for this pendulum, you have trajectory, circular trajectory, whatever the amplitude here is. I mean, it's difficult to... No. Yeah. In principle, I can start a pendulum. And you see that here, the phase space of this object is four dimension. I have to fix... X and Y, and I have to fix some velocity. And I mean, mastering this dynamical system means if you give me the initial condition, I can tell you where I will go. And this guy knew, and he said, for example, if the impetus of the endeavor by the tangent at the first setting out was equal to the endeavor to the center, this was made a perfect circular motion. Okay, so here you will see during this talk that he has a very subtle understanding of the dynamics without knowing the equation, which is fantastic, because it means that he has a qualitative understanding of what was going on. And this qualitative understanding came from experiments, not from the theory, because the mathematics were not there, just experiment and geometry. So here it's a stupid thing, it's rotating like this. Now, next one is more interesting. Next one is more interesting because, so what Hooke realized very clearly is that for small angle, the conatus to descend is now linear, because I don't come back to the picture, but for a small angle, the angle and the chord become the same, so he realized that for small angle, the pendulum were following the Hooke's law. Okay? And then he did this very interesting thing. Okay. So now, and they spend, I think, each week he has to do 3 or 4 experiments. And this experiment on pendulas, I think, were 2 or 3 weeks. Because we are doing a measurement. I give you an example of measurement. Start something on a circular. I mean, try to impose a circular thing, but at the same time, you have 2 other pendula. And on the one which is here, you do just this trajectory. And on the one which is this, you do this trajectory. So he was trying to understand, this was a conjecture of Wren, Christopher Wren, that this motion could be understood as a composition of 2 motions. In modern language, you will say that this is polarization. You have 2 cross polarization, and you have a circular polarization, and things like this. Okay, fine. This is good for linear system, but Hooke knew that if you go to higher amplitude, he knew that the conatus to descent was not proportional to the angle, but that you will get non-linearity. And at the results, I will show you here. It's very easy. So I make a summary. You have rotating trajectory and circle. Whatever the amplitude, you can get a circle. You have also this trajectory. Planar trajectory. If you forget about rotation of the Earth, Foucault, then this planar trajectory are stable forever. There is no force except the rotation of the Earth. But if you go at the equator, if you neglect it, so you have these 2 things. Now, what about other trajectory? And now it will be nice to have a lamp and to see the projection, because mainly all the arguments is done on the projection. On the projection, you have a center, and XY you are going to call R, or Z if you want. You can do in the complex, but in that case it was just R. So now you can also do elliptic trajectory. I'm not saying that this move on ellipse, but the projection is going to be something which look like ellipse. Okay, so if the pendulum was Hooke theory, then ellipses would have been solution of this. But because the pendulum is a non-linear object, if you do, and you are going to see, this is a very, very, very impressive experiment by the simplicity. Let's try to do some ellipses and see what is going on. I do it a little bit. What do you see? The ellipse precesses. You get precession. Hooke knew that. So what does this precession come from? This precession is a very simple thing. If you start with some elliptic motion like this, now if you try to compose these 2 motions, this one, the pendulum like this, has a frequency which is higher than this frequency, and as a result, you get precession. So precession, because of nonlinearity. Is this important? Yes, this nonlinearity exists everywhere. For example, in Bose-Conan sets, as you know, I mean, the nonlinearity of this, if you call the amplitude A, The nonlinearity is just the classical nonlinearity of, which is everywhere in our field. And here I show you some. Okay, let's do the experiment. I mean, here, because you have seen on the one. Yeah. Now, this, when alpha is equal to zero, this is not a real pendulum. It's a hook pendulum. And then you just put some alpha. And of course, you see that. Yeah, alpha is nonlinearity. And here it's just, the coefficient of this, the frequency of this thing depends on the frequency of this skin is omega naught plus alpha A modulus square. So the frequency depends, or the energy depends on the density, if you speak about a condensate. And this precession is very, very important in our field. And I have just found this thing. I mean, of course, you can, if you have it in mechanics, you also can have it in optics. Because in optics, you can send elliptically polarized light in a nonlinear medium, and as a result, when it will travel, the ellipticity will make a turn. So this was already, in some sense, I'm going to speak about pendula a lot, because in nonlinear dynamics, pendula are like harmonic oscillator for quantum people. But more or less with this nonlinearity, as we all know, we can have a lot of very interesting. Okay, so here you have seen that. Now, what else? Okay, this is the last thing that. Oh no, I'm sorry. This one I love it. So in 77, in this series of demonstration, he did so many demonstrations. I cannot tell you all the demonstrations, but I give you some of the example. So if he asked himself the question. So take a rolling ball or in concave axial symmetric not potential, well. And you ask the question, what should be the well to get isochronicity? To kill? As soon as you understand that you have this, you want to kill this, because this is a very long story, because it's related to the measurement of time. If you want to do pendula with a clock with a pendula, you have to avoid the fact that this oscillation is smaller, is shorter than this one. Because so then you ask, what is this? What I have to do to make a circular pendulum isochronous, and he found this solution in 67, which was found later on by Huygens, and which is related to the cycloidal pendulum, except that the cycloidal pendulum is in the plane. So you have, this is called a chic. Chic, I don't know, I use a word that I don't know, chic. It's called, let me draw you something. I don't know how to spell it, by the way, chic. So, now, you understand something, that if the pendulum here has a slower, it's slower than here, you want to limit it. You don't want the pendulum to go very far. And then what they introduce was, for the cycloid, they introduce, Huygens introduce some limitation. So here the pendulum is a string, and when it's pendulate like this, the string will stick, and you see that this will change the length, so it will limit it, and this is called chic. In the old, it's a limitation, and these people, so here, if you have a cycloidal shape like this, this will be a cycloid, because when you are hanging some string like this with the chic, this object describes something which is called the evolute. Evolute is a word of now, yes, evolute. It's just when you peel, you try to peel something. So, and then, take a rotating, this is, you have some axis, and this is all solid. And here you have a chic. So this can rotate. So I'm going to tell you what is this shape here, and then you want that when you leave your string like this, you want this to be a parabola, because Hooke knew that the paraboloid was the exact shape in order to have asynchronous trajectory. And then, of course, what you are going to do, I would love to construct this pendulum. So you are not going to leave this thing going like this. At the same time you do this, you make it rotating, so it will never reach the center. And it can, if you choose right the initial condition, it can rotate on a circle, and whatever the circle, the frequency is the same. And here, this is the first time that someone introduced, this is called a semi-cubic parabola, y cube is equal to x squared. And the evolute of the semi-cubic parabola is the parabola. So you see all these tricks, these people, they were doing very nice mechanical thing. At the same time, they had a lot of understanding of what was going on. Okay. Okay.
Galileo constructed the cycloid pendulum.
Yeah, but he was not aware that this was a cycloid.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I saw it.
Yeah, in Florence, in the museum. Yeah. So now let's start to the serious, to the hardcore. Just to tell you a little bit of this, the personality of this guy, Hooke was really a very creative mind. He had to do 3 experiments every week while he was a curator at the Royal Society. So he did incredible number of experiments, and he has a theory of many things, except that for, of course, Newton and other people, he was a little bit qualitative. He was too much qualitative. He has a very good understanding of the things which were going on, but he was less good as Newton, of course, for mathematics. And you will see when they start to enter. Also, this guy was very apparently, Royal Society was a collective effort to solve physical problems. It was really a collective effort. I mean, this idea, all these people will meet, see experiments, it was not a real competition between them. You have to understand that, because a lot of the thing has not been published. It was just notes. They really want, and so Hooke was a curator for 15 years, and then, I think a year before, he became the secretary of Royal Society. And as soon as he was hired as the secretary of Royal Society, he asked Newton to participate to work at Royal Society, because he had a problem with Newton with optics 5 or 6 years ago. But he was not, what do you say, rancor, he has no rancor. I mean, apparently he was able to forget about this. So as soon as he gets secretary of Royal Society, he writes letter. There are 5 letters. So I'm going to show a little bit this 5 letter and show some experiments related to see the, you will see the understanding of Newton at the time by the answer that, okay. So the first letter, November 24. I leave you. Yeah. And so he writes, this letter is quite long, but he asks him mainly to participate to the effort of the community. At the same time, he is again saying this sentence: can you tell me about your thought that the compounding, the celestial motion of the planet of a direct motion, tangent, and attractive motion toward the center? This idea of inertia for attraction, inertia, attraction. This idea that he demonstrates experimentally, it was really a demonstration, experimentally, he wants Newton to comment on it, okay? So the comments arrive, it's a long letter by Newton, 4 days before, after, so they were quick to answer. You see at some point Newton decided not to answer anymore. okay, so Newton first claimed that he was no more interested in the natural philosophy. You have to remember that at this time Newton was alchemist. He was doing a lot of alchemist experiment. He was doing this crazy apocalyptic prediction. So in particular, some people say that he predicts that the end of the world will be 2060. So for the young people, I have a friend of mine, Yves Pomo, who say if Newton predicts this, this has to be taken seriously. At least we need to have a look. It's not any prediction. So Newton at this time, so he said to Hooke, I'm not interested. This, we don't believe it. And then he tell him that he never hear, I don't know, about this hypothesis of composition of motion, never hear. And he draw, and then just in order to entertain Hooke, he draw a little, he write a long explanation of what will be the motion of a heavy body falling down to the center of the Earth by assuming that the Earth is transparent in some sense. I mean, there is no, the gravity will just, there will be a deviation because the Earth is rotating. And then the motion of the Earth, this is the whole problem that already Galileo considered. And if you, for Galileo, for example, if you leave a body like this, it will reach the center of the Earth and go on the other side, of course, by inertia, and come back. So it will do a kind of harmonic oscillation. So Newton draws this spiral, which converges to the center, assuming that there is no resistance. Okay, you have to notice that this is very important. There is no, it's completely non-physical problem. So I mean, it's Earth that you can penetrate without resistance, and of course the gravity decreases because you have less. Now, the answer of the answer of Hooke is he give a very long answer, and he say that this is not possible. This will be a sub-elliptic motion. By the way, he knew that this was Hooke's law, because if you have 1 over square times the volume, it's R. Okay, can I do the... So the Newton law is R, the force is R over R cube. R over R cube, yes. And the mass is rho R cube. So it's a Hooke law. This is already something interesting. And he knew that for the Hooke law, he has ellipses. And he drew, this is this picture that, these are this picture. By the way, this is the first time that there is the idea of that a terrestrial body can do some orbits around the Earth. Of course, you can say this is a crazy theoretical problem, because the Earth, you cannot penetrate the Earth, but it is interesting. You will see, the story will be a little bit more interesting. Okay, so, and then Newton become very upset, because correcting Newton, and then he say, this is Newton to Hooke, December 13, so they have exchanged already 1 letter. So he say he agree with Hooke that he make a mistake. Ah, this is terrible. I mean, this guy, just some experimentalist without knowing about differential calculus, just found a mistake in the Newton argument. And then I think here he went a little bit again in another mistake, because he say, and he draws this thing here. I'm going to do the experiment. Yes. Okay, now I need this. And you see, he said the following. He said, if I am assuming that the gravity is uniform, if I am assuming the gravity is uniform, then I will see that. I will see, if I assume the gravity is uniform, I will see that. And I say it's not ellipsoid at all. It's very far from precession. And then, at this point, Hooke answer. Sir, your calculation of the curve described by a body attracted by equal power at equal distance from the center, such as that the ball rolling on an inverted cone, is right. So, okay. So, I mean, and this, do the experiment. I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Yeah. Ah, no. This trajectory are the trajectory that Newton drew.
This shouldn't be there. This is normal.
This? No. No, no, it's okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think you have seen the basic thing. Now, of course, the ball is going to the center because of friction. Without friction, it's difficult to do it without friction, except that, yes, we can do it without friction. Yeah, we can do exactly without friction. So there is nothing to do with ellipses here. So Newton answered to Hooke that he was right, that he was on the spiral, but instead to solve the problem that Hooke asked for it, he solved a problem with a constant gravity. So now the force is something like R over R. This is a constant, not the Hooke constant. And Hooke knew that this was, because he did this experiment 1,000 times, he knew that this was, that Newton has a way to solve. At this time, Hooke knew that Newton has a way to solve the problem. We don't know. Nobody knows what method Newton used, but this picture that I show to you here, this picture, I mean, it's very clear. If you start with the right initial condition on the computer, you will see. By the way, you will see at the end that I have this was one of the exam problem that I did to the student in this by using the Hooke thing. Okay, now excuse me. Not the previous. Yeah, no, yes, okay, and this is another attack that Hooke did on Newton. He said, I understand that you have a constant gravity, this is what you say, but this is not my concern. I was concerned by the problem of the motion inside the Earth, which is Hooke, the Hooke law, okay? So now, I am in time, so... Okay, let's continue. Last letter. After that, Newton never answered. He decided not to answer to this guy because it was very dangerous because this guy was... And I like this. This is a very short letter. Here, I think you see it's attractive. You see the interest of Hooke having Newton in the community of the Royal Society to discuss things. He was not trying to compete with Newton, because he said, if you have in mind to consider this matter, a word or two of your thought would be grateful to our society. Right? Because every time he was sending a letter and he was receiving a letter, this letter were read at the Royal Society and people debate. The idea of Royal Society was a very fantastic idea of collective behavior, emotion. And the result is very interesting for... Okay, so now, what else? Okay, so let's jump now to... So you have all this story that Halley went to see Newton in Cambridge. And at some point, Newton sent a manuscript to the Royal Society. So you see, it's now it's 4 years after that, which is called De Motu Corporum Girum, which is the basics of the Principia. I mean, everything is there. I mean, and in particular, you can see these sentences, which are so clearly related to what Hooke said. The change of motion is proportional to the motive, force, and press, and is made in direction. And then this drawing, which is a classical drawing, I'm going to it's, this is a classical drawing, which is a proposition one of book one of Newton, which show that if you have a central force, then you have the Kepler law of area, and in both ways. If you have a Kepler law, you have a central force, and the motion is on the plane. So this is very important because this is the central point of the Principia, because with this tool, you can reduce the problem of time to a geometrical problem, because time now is geometry, because it's just the area of some triangle. So let me insult you and do the analysis. The Newton analysis, which is, if you go from A to B, and if the sun is sleeping, then you will go to C, and this length is equal to this one. But then, since the sun is not sleeping, at this point, it will attract suddenly the body be in each direction of a given length, and then the composition, the compounding of the will give rise to this inflection, the inflection of hook. And then you can continue this. Of course, as soon you say that, whatever the force here, you don't say that it's a 1 over square, you just say that the force is central. The force can be even attractive in some part, repulsive in some. The force is completely arbitrary, but it's central. The inflection is central. And then, of course, these two triangles have the same area because they have AB is equal to BC and the height is common. And then the next thing is to show that after the inflection, the area of this and this one is the same, of course, because they have the same basis and the height is in common. So this is a demonstration of Newton of the Kepler law. If you have a central force, you have a Kepler law. Okay. Now, 1 year later. And this is a point. This manuscript, this is now the hook solution to the hook problem. This is the hook solution to the hook problem. And I will try to convince you that it is an exact solution. And and this is the first time that someone used some numerical algorithm. And this is a symplectic algorithm. So this has been discovered, I think, 6 years ago. Again, in the Christopher Wren Library in Cambridge. And there is because you know, all the paper, all the manuscript of Hooke has disappeared. This is something, I mean, not all of them, but many of them. So there are still some manuscript, and by accident, so 5 years ago, someone discovered in the Wren Library a series of manuscripts, including one which is called the Law of Circular Motion. So it's 1 year after De Motu. De Motu is an 11-page manuscript submitted at the Royal Society, so probably Hooke knew about it. Okay? I'm not saying that Hooke, because this picture is so closely resemblant to the Newton that probably this is what I would like to call the collaboration between Hooke and Newton, you know, experimentalist, geometrical. And so now it's on the side of Hooke. Hooke probably has read De Motu. And then, with the help of De Motu, he's trying to solve the problem that he was all his life looking. And then I want to comment this thing. Okay, this is very simple. I draw some. So here I am solving the with a computer, but you will see that you don't need a computer. I am solving the Hooke problem, the Hooke central problem. That is just the R, the central force proportional to the distance, okay, which is exactly if you have two spring, two mass, I'm sorry, attached on a spring, like this, or small some small deviation of this. You start with the same thing. You say you go from A to B and C. But now this time you want to have a predictive algorithm, so you want to know where is C. So you say that the inflection will be BV. So BV over BS is just a measure of the force. In the Hooke law, there is a K, which is the stiffness. This divided by this is a measure of the stiffness. So you give the stiffness. Then you want to construct the next point. So this go to this point by this parallelogram. And then you arrive here, and you want to know at what will be the next deflection. But you know that the next deflection should be such that CW divided by CS is equal to BV divided by BS. So you take the tangent of to BC, and you get the point S. So this is, and I continue, and I get this. Now this is the point on this curve lie on a real ellipse, which is very surprising. Because it's a numerical algorithm, he has a discretized time, and I claim that, I mean, he makes the demonstration, and you will see why. I claim that this is the points lie on a real ellipse. It's not a curve which is close to the ellipse. And so I have one demonstration, and let me do first the complicated demonstration, the way that we will understand it now. So, if you solve some differential equation, I mean, I forget to write the differential equation. dt r is equal to v, and dTv is equal to half f of r. I mean, I have this differential equation, and I am writing the discretization scheme that I can write. 100 years after the Principia, Euler invents this scheme, the first one. Okay, this is the so-called Euler scheme. This is what Euler did is terrible, because after that people were using this scheme to solve a mechanical problem in astronomy, and this scheme do not conserve energy. So they have to take very time. If they have looked at the Principia and tried to interpret in the way that Newton did, they would have avoided to lost a lot of time, because now with a very fast computer you can solve a problem with this scheme. But this scheme, if you have a bad computer of you are doing by hand, this scheme do not conserve the energy. So it's called explicit Euler. You see, you put on the right hand side. So when you let h goes to zero, in both cases you will get this equation, right? In all cases you will get this equation, but this now you put right hand side at time I plus 1. Here you have a problem, because to solve this equation in particular, in general, you need to implement a Newton's method, because it's a non-linear equation. This equation increases the energy. This one, this algorithm, decreases the energy. Now, if you put VI plus 1 on the first and not here, or RI plus 1 here, then these two algorithms preserve the symplectic structure of the dynamics. The way you see that now is complicated, but if you think in terms of Newton, it's so simple, because a sun which can attract periodically, it's a mechanical system. So it has to obey to the symplectic, it has to have the symplectic structure. The way you understand it now is the following, just one transparency. It's called a symplectic method. Actually, it's something called a discrete Hamiltonian system. Basically, you start with some Hamiltonian and you decompose into two parts, of course, a kinetic and a potential part. And when you ask for the evolution of a given quantity Q, you get that Q evolve according this law, where you get the Poisson bracket. And then you can compute Q by taking the exponential. And then the idea is F is some linear operator that you can decompose into two linear operators. But as you know, e to the A plus B is not equal to E to the C. And the basic idea of Newton and Hooke was exactly this. They have some inertial law where you put a potential to zero, and then you have a jump. Inertial law, jump. And when you do that, you use the Campbell-Hausdorff formula, and you will see that the Hamiltonian of your discrete Hamiltonian dynamics will be the same as your continuous dynamics and correction. And correction, which are parallel to the Hausdorff formula. But when you look at the Hooke's law, you start with a linear system. The discrete Hamiltonian is linear, and this is what you get. And it's a quadratic. And if for a quadratic you have ellipses, for any quadratic you have ellipses. So the Hooke calculation was wrong quantitatively, but was right qualitatively. Because here you can check very easily that if you up to h is equal to 2, because when h is equal to 2, you see that this is a perfect square. Up to h is equal to 2 or minus 2, you have convergence of the scheme, and you have ellipses, because this Hamiltonian is just a square. So this is a very complicated modern way to see it. Now I show you, I have 5 minutes. I show you now the Newton way to say that. I mean, it's not Newton, but in the spirit of Newton, which is very, very simple. So you want to prove that this is ellipse, without calculation, just geometry. Now, let's come back to the idea of Newton when he was 23. So you have a billiard, and you play balls. So, and you assume that the shocks are perfectly elastic. Okay? And the idea of Newton was fully, you want to compute the centrifugal force, I mean, the way that the ball press on the billiard, or the effect of the billiards, which is such that the ball don't go away. So you have this, but this, if you look a little bit to this, this construction is very, very similar, because without the billiard, the ball will go to here. So it is deflected, and the deflection is again in the direction of the center. So let's do the billiard construction. It's a very simple thing. Okay? Yeah, you do it. Then once you have that, just look with the lights on the side, or just make some contraction and dilatation. And then you get that the distance are going to be proportional. I mean, so there is nothing to say about it. Okay. What is this one? Should I show you that? No. Okay. Ah. Irregular. Now I'm going to answer your question. So a few years ago, we were playing with a pendulum. I don't have the pendulum here. It was a conical pendulum, but with two. This one, you can reproduce the same thing by having a vertical and two axes, using something called universal joint, by the way, which were discovered and produced by Hooke. Again, like in the car, you know, in the Cardan. I'm sorry to be so anti-French. Cardan was Italian. Okay, yeah, but I am from Nice, so. But Cardan had the idea, but I think Hooke was the first. I will show you some picture. Now, look at this pendulum. This pendulum, this pendulum is, I would like to show it in real. It's a crazy pendulum. It's a crazy. But you have some axis. You have two axes, perpendicular axis. Now, I'm going to answer your question, because when we were doing that 5 years ago, it was for a demonstration for students, and we have in mind something completely different. And suddenly the guy who did the experiment saw this very crazy thing. He said, my God, how this is possible? This is possible because the experimentalist did a mistake, which is always good, because from mistakes you can learn something. And the mistakes was the following. You have two axes. One of the axes has to be, if you want to simulate this pendulum with these two, one of the axes has to be strictly perpendicular, strictly vertical. Because when it's strictly vertical, on the horizontal plane, you have the Kepler law of area. Okay? Since you conserve the energy, there is no friction, and you have a Kepler law of area, you have the two constant of motion, which is angular momentum, which give you rise to the integrability. By the way, conservation of energy is Hooke. There is an incredible paper of Hooke. Hooke really was the first to understand the conservation of energy, that Newton was not at all able to understand it. So here, by accident, one of the axes was slightly not aligned. When it's slightly not aligned, you still conserve the energy, but you lose the Kepler law. If you lose the Kepler law, you lose one of the basic ingredients for integrability. So it's like the three-body problem. You can say it in a different way. Assume you start with a very vertical problem like this, and put the sun closest. So the gravity will turn, and this guy will do a very, very crazy thing. So, okay, now, what is my suspicion? My suspicion is that this, now this is what? Is a motion, let's finish with this, I'll finish. My suspicion, it will be very nice too. Because I have some damping also, perhaps to try to, the trajectory I show it here is nothing else than the trajectory of this ball in the cone, except that the cone is slightly tilted. If it's slightly tilted, then you get this crazy trajectory. If you analyze it in a modern way by using the Poincaré, you will see it's crazily chaotic. So you have to think a little bit in terms of Hooke. I like this idea. Every time a trajectory goes close to the center, it's like a comet. So if you go close to the sun, you are ejected right very far away. So if there is no perturbation, you have the RALO of motion plus energy conservation, so you can predict in a very Laplacian deterministic way where you're going to be. But if you lose the conservation of angular momentum or the Kepler law, then you get this crazy thing. I mean, if I suppress the tilting, I just suppress the tilt. You see the difference, it's a very, very important difference. I would be surprised that Hooke never saw that. They spent so many time by playing on this. I mean, I would be very surprised that it's, because here, basically, let's do it again. When I am when the plane, the cone is not inverted, it's not tilted, the trajectory are always rotating in the same direction, which is related to the initial velocity. But when you look at this, you see that the trajectory will make on the right, they will go on the left. How can Hooke, I mean, it's impossible for me to believe that Hooke has not seen that. Because it's so easy when you do some experiment to put a little tilt. When you do the theory, you know, I'm very sensitive to that, but because this rotating pendula that you saw, we did the theory and we have never seen that. And the experimentalist did it and right away we have seen. Okay? So, and here we can try to produce, it's not very simple to put a slight, okay, and then I have to do this probably if you want to see. No, here I am. I mean, you can really, it's not so easy to see this complicated trajectory. If the tilt is too big, you know, perhaps better, no? You have to spend more time. Oh, yes. You see that, I mean, if you see that the rotation can reverse. I have finished. I just show you because I. Okay. It's just to convince you that I was serious. This is a dynamic qualitative, the last exercise for students. This is a motion on this inverted cone, and then the next question was related to the Hooke's solution of the Hooke problem by Hooke himself. I don't know, I left just, you know, this is why I'm here. I mean, I left, we are doing this lecture, this course for 600 students. I mean, it's a mass, yes, but you know, they don't, and they don't know to compute a derivative, so we show them pendula and trying to give them some, yeah.
By the way, in 1666, when Hooke was doing all that, Newton was not the Royal Society,
he was
23.
Yeah.
There was a plague in London,
yeah.
He was in Woodstock.
Yeah.
When did he hear about Hooke? Did he ever hear?
Yeah.
What Hooke is, there any documents about it?
Yeah.
He invented everything. This guy was that when he thought about something first.
No. You know, there is this correspondence is very clear.
But that's 79.
Yeah, but at this time, when you read the letter of Newton, you realize that he still have the idea that vertical motion and the equilibrium between centrifugal force and this motion of vortex. I mean, people have analyzed a lot. This correspondence is very important because you see what is the understanding of Newton of this problem. He understood basically the centrifugal force in the way that I described to you, and also in the same way as Huygens did, by saying more or less the following. If you rotate on a circle and then if you suppress the string, then it will go on the tangent and you want to compute the force. So the force is almost constant and you use Galileo So he has two ways to compute circular motion, and he has the notion of curvature. So if your motion occurs on a curved surface, at some point you have the cercle osculateur, I don't know, the circle of crookedness, they call it, the curvature, crookedness. So these letters are very interesting because you see, so his understanding of probably the proposition one was a missing link for him to do it. But as you know, just show you some. I forgot at the beginning to did it, but what Hooke is known for? Because Hooke is known. I mean, Alan Newell told me that when you look at the list of the most famous people, it appears at number 10. But it's mainly known for, in the community of microscopists, there is a medal called Hooke medal. Because he's well known for this work on, was able to do a microscope with very good quality. So he was the first to observe flies, lice, I mean, all these animals. And he was making incredible drawings with all the details. So, and this book was very famous because people like to do science in society. So they have this microscope and they were looking what Hooke's. So it's something. But it's more serious than that. I mean, he was, he invented the barometer, the anemometer, the hygrometer. I mean, he was the first meteorologist. He was the first to suggest to make record of time and to make prediction, to have a record of time, weather. Yes, he was a meteorologist. He did incredible work on combustion. I mean, but I mean, the feeling one has when one read it is, of course, he was probably a difficult person because many times people steal, he has a feeling many times the people steal his idea. Because he has no time to write things. Every week he has to do 3 experiments. At the time where they have this collective behavior on the Royal Society. Also Christopher Wren was like this, Wallis, not Newton. Okay, something happened there because they decide. I'm not going to comment on Newton. So what he did else? This Cardan, this is he probably discovered before Huygens the watch, this spring watch, in this paper on. Of spring, there is a first graph where it's very clear that he has a conservation of energy. I mean, the fact that you have potential energy which transforms into to kinetic energy and the conservation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.